Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hi everybody, producer Al here. Time for another TSFP Presents Classic Teams re-release here on the Monday podcast feed. This time we turn our attention to Atletico Madrid and their double winners of the 1995-1996 season. If you enjoy this kind of thing, why not join us over at patreon.com/TSFP. Later this week, patrons will be getting a brand new episode of a new TSFP Presents series in which we are looking at more super seasons from the history of Spanish football. So if you enjoy this, you might enjoy that.
Hello, patrons. Welcome to another edition of TSFP Presents Classic Teams. On this week's episode, we're heading back to the mid-1990s to revisit Atletico Madrid's double-winning side from 1995-1996. They hadn't won the league for 17 years, and they wouldn't win it for another 18 years. So this was a big, big moment in the history of Atletico Madrid. It's an interesting one because obviously we're going to talk about the team, we're going to talk about the players. We could probably do a whole podcast about the owner as well.
I think we might, might one day.
But yes, we won't spend too much time on Jesus Hill. However, there is a lot to be said for Atletico's colourful owner.
Yes.
Criminal owner.
Colourful criminal.
Yes.
And
now deceased.
High levels of cholesterol.
Yeah, you would say larger than life, but he was also quite large in life. Yes. So large in every sense.
Yes. I mean, genuinely, before we kind of get onto the footballer stuff, genuinely one of the standout moments of this season, and one of the things that people best remember, is Jesus Hill, the president of Atletico Madrid, punching the president of Compostela in the face at the league's offices. And the TV cameras are following them up the stairs as people getting away going, Prezi, Prezi, leave it, Prezi. And they're calling each other, hijo de puta, ladrón, chorizo, eres una mierda, te pego, ven aquí que te pego, tú y yo y ellos, no, solo nosotros. It's quite something.
You don't get that these days, do you?
You don't get that these days. I would quite like to see Florentino Perez and Jose Maria Bartomeu having a fight.
Be like, come on, come on.
Come on in, you and whose army.
It's not worth it.
I mean, let's start off by talking about Jesus Hill. Obviously, that's one story of many that you could have recounted. Of course, he was the mayor of Marbella.
Yes,
for a long time.
Which graced
Atletico's shirts, and there was lawyers. How do I describe this? A sleight of hand with that their sponsorship. Also, he was mayor of Marbella, of course, in charge of a political party called the Grupo Independiente Liberal, I think it was. Gil, for short, yeah. He was, look, we laugh at Gil, and he was very funny in many ways, but in many other ways, he really wasn't funny at all.
He was a borderline gangster.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he was definitely, he was a convicted criminal. He went to prison.
He had a TV show called Las Noches de Tal y Tal, which was basically him in a jacuzzi with lots of women in bikinis. And because, of course, he's in a jacuzzi and he's a great big gelatinous blob, and you're a TV show, so you've got to have a microphone. He had his microphone hanging from the kind of medallion around his neck. it really is a sight to behold.
He celebrated the triumph of Atletico Madrid by riding his horse through Neptuno.
Famous horse, Imperius. They had horse and carts, and Imperius was one of them.
That beats an open top bus, doesn't it? A horse and cart.
Yes. 100,000 people on the streets, horse and cart.
I've got to say, look up the footage. If you go on YouTube, you can find it. Hmm. I mean, we've been at Neptuno back in 2014 for Atletico title celebrations, but it wasn't anything like these celebrations, if you look up the footage, it looks absolutely mad.
There were
mad.
No imperious white horses. I mean, his name was literally
his
imperious.
His name was imperious, yes.
And apparently he used to talk to him a lot and ask his advice on signings and firing managers as well.
Yes, yes.
You can also see him in that footage wearing a quite extraordinary tracksuit, unzipped almost to the waist, with nothing underneath.
Except the medallion.
A large gold medallion, yeah.
Like I said, there's a lot of stuff to be said about Jesus Gil. Obviously, he oversaw this successful period for Atletico Madrid, which culminated in the double. Obviously, he also oversaw a relegation a few years later.
Well, the miracle in a way was that Radiantic, the manager who came in and won the double, was there for 3 years, and this was going somewhere. I remember speaking to Ron Atkinson once, who was one of the many coaches that Jesus Gil had, and Atkinson had been in charge, I think, for 47 days. And the way Atkinson put it, that probably qualifies me for a testimonial at Atletico Madrid, because he was genuinely going through managers. I mean, there was one season when he had 7 managers. In one season, we thought that kind of Real Madrid and Barcelona at times were a bit bonkers, but that is going some.
It's worth talking a bit about the context, isn't it? So Real Madrid and Barcelona had won the last 11 league titles between them. Mm. As you say, Phil, Atleti hadn't won it in 17 or 18 years.
But since in that Luis time, Aragonés's title they had in, been, what, 77?
They'd been there or thereabouts. They'd finished second or third, I think, in 7 of those previous 18 years. So they'd been near the top, except the previous season, in which they very nearly got relegated.
Well, they were in risk of going down. I think it was the penultimate weekend of the season they had the risk of going down. In the end, I think they finished something like 14.
Yeah, but
it doesn't
finished,
look so bad.
It was only 1 point above. It was relegation playoffs in those days, and they finished 1 point above the relegation
very
playoffs.
Confusing for new Spanish speakers, English people. They were 1 point above Ascenso. Mm. Which sounds like promotion, but it was actually the final place that you fight for to not go down.
But yeah, the fact that was the season before they went on to win the league is quite an extraordinary turnaround. The other thing that was special about this particular season in Spanish football in general, it's worth saying, is that this was a league of 22 teams.
And also a league of 3 points for a win. First time.
Was
first,
it?
Yes, the first time they went for 3 points for a win.
As soon as that, was it? As recent as that?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Yes, so anyway, 22 teams.
Because Sevilla and Celta had initially been barred because of some sort of administrative...
Yep.
Unsurprisingly, in Spanish football, some sort of administrative cock-up. They were then eventually had to be allowed back in, but there was no solution other than having two extra teams, which I think carried on for 3 seasons or something like that. I think it was...
Yeah, they tried to... Did they bring it down 1-2? No, they did bring it down 2 teams at a time. Yeah, a mess anyway.
The manager you mentioned, Radomir Antic.
I've got a bottle of wine somewhere at home that he gave me.
Oviedo legend.
Yep.
Former Luton Town ace as well.
He
ended
is
his playing career at Luton Town.
Those who don't know, and those who know English football, there's a very famous bit of footage of David Pleat, the manager of Luton, wearing a cream suit running across
the pitch
like a kind of kangaroo in this hop and skip.
Yeah.
That's because they had survived on the final day. The goal had been scored by Radi Antic.
I didn't know he was a Luton Town legend as well, but obviously former manager of Real Oviedo, the only man to have managed Barcelona, Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. It's funny because he was in Spain as a manager for 14 years, over a 14-year period. He managed 6 different clubs and his only titles were this doblete.
Yeah, and with Oviedo he went down.
Did he? So it was his fault, was it?
Well, I mean, he signed Collymore. Then when Collymore left, he said signing Collymore was nothing to do with me.
All right. Okay.
So there's no doubt that this season was the pinnacle of his coaching career, his biggest achievement.
Yes, absolutely. And I think if you hear people speak about him and speak about his style, apparently it was incredibly meticulous.
Very, very meticulous. I mean, and stylistically, this was an Atletico team that was defensively quite strong, but you look at the numbers of goals they conceded, it's nowhere near as strong as the current Atletico is. A team that played a 4-4-2, but it was a midfield diamond. So you had one at the base of the team, and then one at the top. And I'll actually tell you who it was at the moment. But you had Kiko playing up front with Penev. You had Caminero on one side, Simeone on the other, and it was a Vizcaíno, I think, was the one that kind of underpinned the
team.
They
were also incredibly reliant on set pieces. If you look at the percentage of their goals in the league season, they scored 75 goals, and just under half of them were scored from set pieces, and you'd have to put that
49%
partly down to having brilliant deliverers of the ball like Pantage, but also I guess the management comes into that because you've got to plan these set pieces.
And in fact, the goal that effectively wins in the league, they actually win 2-0 on the final day against Albacete, but the goal that makes it 1-0, and from that point they know there's no doubt, is a Simeone goal from a Pantage set piece.
Simeone
and
header.
It's a very much a classic Atletico goal in that it's a Simeone run to the near post very aggressively, the ball swung inwards towards him. And in it goes.
They finished top, 4 points ahead of Valencia, 7 points ahead of Barcelona, and 17 points ahead of Real Madrid.
And the previous season, they had finished 20 points behind Real Madrid, who were champions the previous year. So what a turnaround that is.
That's a, hold on, 37-point swing.
There you go.
On the penultimate weekend of the season, Atletico Madrid could have won the league without playing.
Mm.
And this tells you something about the mindset, in particular, of a certain Diego El Cholo Simeone.
Mm.
But on the final, on the penultimate weekend of the season, Valencia are playing Espanyol after Atletico have already played. And obviously, if Valencia don't win, Atletico are title winners. And Kiko tells a nice story, Kiko the striker tells a nice story about how they're all thinking, God, come on, let Espanyol get the points off of Valencia, let's be league title winners. And Simeone is telling everyone that he's desperate for Valencia to win. He doesn't want to win the league watching on TV, all the players at home on their own, the whole squad separated. I mean, obviously they could have done a Leicester and stayed around Jamie Vardy's house and all watched it together kind of thing. But he says, no, I don't want to win the league like this. And all his team are saying, you're absolutely mad, aren't you? Because this is a time when, you know, this whole idea of El Pupas, the jinx one, already exists.
Mm.
Right? So the others are saying, don't be mad. If we go to the final day, you know, what if we blow it on the final day? And Simeone's saying, we have to win it. We have to win. We have to win it. We can't have it given to us. We have to win it. I want Valencia to win. They do win, so it goes to this final day against
Albacete.
Yeah. Valencia actually equalise, and a draw rather, on the final day against Celta, I believe it is, a 1-1 draw. And so in the end, you know, even without winning, yeah, Atletico would have won the league. But there's a nice moment where they're on the bus on the way to the stadium, and Kiko is supposed to be the one that kind of does the microphone just before they get to the stadium, talks to the players, and he sees the fans, he just puts the microphone down, says, I don't want the responsibility of this. And Simeone basically says, you see, this is why we had to wait. Who wants to win it on the TV when you can win it in front of these people?
Well, again,
here?
Look up the footage. There's some really good reports on YouTube of that game, that day at the Calderon.
Mm.
I mean, we've been at the Calderon for some games, but this looks like, people say it was the biggest party, the biggest day ever at the Vicente Calderon.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
the atmosphere does look extraordinary.
How much of a coincidence is it that the manager of the most successful Atletico Madrid in recent memory, i.e. Diego Simeone, was a part of this double winning side?
Absolutely no coincidence whatsoever. Now, there's a whole load of elements of this, and we could obviously be here all day, but I think it's worth picking up on this, and it might actually be worth going through the team as well.
It is, yeah, we're going to
explain
why
in a minute. But so you have Simeone, who was kind of, if you like, the heartbeat of this team, who was the emotional power of this team, and you know, this is a guy who joins Atletico Madrid at 24 and is already bossing people around, is already telling people what to do. And there's a story that on the day of the game against Albacete, they have a siesta. They're supposed to have a siesta. And Simeone walks around the hotel hammering on the doors of every single teammate saying, no one is sleeping, no one is sleeping. This is all about the game. And he's completely bonkers. The emotional power of Simeone is a key reason why they bring him back. Because, of course, they bring him back in 2011 at a time of crisis.
Yeah.
And Simeone comes back as much as anything else because of his symbolism and because of the kind of the charismatic authority that he has.
Mm.
And that comes from having been, you know, the key figure in the double winning team. You know what the first thing he did was when he came back? He changed the goal nets at the Calderon. They were black, and he changed them to red and white as they'd been in the year of the double. There was a very clear sense of, right, we're going to recover some of the emotional, what would you call them, kind of badges of identity of that team to kind of bring it back to this. And we're gonna make that team what we are. And of course, Atletico always knew that at some stage Simeone would come back. And when he came back, he was the only one who had the power to unite fans, board, players, everyone around Atletico. And that power comes largely, not entirely, but largely from the double winning team.
Do you know how many yellow cards he got that season?
I'm guessing a hell of a lot.
18.
That's pretty good going.
18 yellow cards.
That's more than he scored goals. He scored 12 goals, which is actually not bad for.
Have you ever seen the footage of what he did to Julen Guerrero? I mean, obviously we're going to laugh here, but we really shouldn't laugh because it's absolutely appalling.
Okay.
But
sounds great. Yeah,
and I think, I don't know if it was that season. I think it might have been the following season. The following season was the year I lived in Oviedo, so I saw the back end of this team.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw this team get knocked out of the Champions League, for example, against Ajax, and a really good side. But so I think it was the following season, but the ball's going out of play at one end of San Mamés, and Julen Guerrero, who at the time was kind of the pretty boy, the one everybody loved in Spain, you know, he was the superstar of Spanish football, slides in to stop it. Simeone's running alongside him. Simeone stamps on his thigh. Simeone leaves a hole in Julen Guerrero's thigh, a stud-shaped hole in his thigh, and it literally starts to bleed. It looks like a gunshot wound. It is something else. It really is extraordinary.
You get a yellow card.
I mean, I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't actually know, or maybe you'd assume he got red. I can't remember, actually, if he got a card or not.
Diego Simeone was second top scorer that season for Atletico Madrid, behind Lyuboslav Penev.
Yeah, Lyuboslav Penev. Massive, big Bulgarian. A bit clumsy.
Which is quite a weird story, isn't it? Because he was only there for a single season.
Yeah, yeah.
He then moved on to Compostela.
Yeah.
He was their top scorer, as you say, with 16 goals. And he's not necessarily one of the most remembered names in this team.
Do you know the best story about him that season? Well, I think it's the best story anyway, was in a cup game against Valencia, which I think Atletico won 5-3 at Mestalla, because they'd lost the home game and they went and won the away game and got through, I think, on away goals.
That wasn't against Valencia that season.
Well, it wasn't that season. Maybe it's the following season. Okay, but there was a cup game against Valencia and he goes up.
He goes
up to the director's box, yeah. Penev. Penev had played at Valencia the season before.
Yes.
And punches Paco Roch, the president... The president of Valencia, because they'd fallen out, the president of Valencia calls him a payaso, a clown, which sounds much worse in Spanish than in English, by the way. Partly because he'd been at Valencia and he'd effectively been forced out at the time when he was undergoing treatment for testicular cancer. And he felt that he'd been poorly treated, which by the sounds of it, he clearly had. Anyway, so he goes into the office and punches the president of Valencia. At which point, Jesus Hill says, "This is a disgrace." Because of the president of Valencia, says, "Presidents are here to give a good example." Jesus Hill! The same Jesus Hill who's been at the league punching the president of Compostela. So maybe Penev was doing the punching rounds. So he starts with Valencia, goes to Atletico, then goes to Compostela.
Wow. I mean, yeah, it's quite a good story.
Yeah, isn't it?
Penev had been at Valencia, as you said, for a few seasons. Mm. He scored a lot of goals. He actually, if you look at his scoring record, he's one of the most prolific scorers in the 90s.
And also that Valencia team, by the way, so he leaves Valencia.
Yeah.
That Valencia team that runs Atletico Madrid so close is led up front by a certain Pedro Mijatovic. Because they're star signing.
Yes.
This is one of the reasons why Valencia and Real Madrid hate each other, because Real Madrid were seen as having stolen Mijatovic from them.
Mm. Milinkovic-Pantic as well in the heart of midfield.
Well, and the guy creating. So you get, as I said, you get a midfield where Pantic is the sort of the top of the diamond. You've got Simeone to the left, Caminero to the right, Vizcaíno behind. Here's a team, to give you an example of kind of like how much of a... With hindsight, at least, how much of a football team this was. People who had to do with football. Right? So this is their standard 11, right? Molina in goal. Do you know the best story about Molina, obviously?
Well, one thing at a time. Give us the starting 11, then give us the story.
Okay, yeah. So Molina in goal.
Yeah.
Jelly at right back. Santi and Lopez at centre-back. Tony at left-back. Caminero, Vizcaíno, Simeone, Pantic in midfield. Penev and Kiko up front. Now, to explain why I say this...
You say that starting 11 and it's not... sort of ringing out.
No, it's not. Absolutely, but these are kind of football people. It was a very stable 11, by the way, as well. There wasn't a huge amount of change. So Jelly, currently president of Girona. Molina, currently sporting director of the Spanish Federation. Santi, a coach with the Spanish youth teams. Juanma López, the centre-back, now the agent of Alvaro Morata, amongst others. Tony, the other fullback, of course, sporting director at Atletico Madrid and at Getafe. Caminero was working at Atletico Madrid. In fact, it's him that brings Simeone back. Vizcaíno, assistant coach to Simeone. Simeone, obviously the current coach. Pantic, coaching the youth system at Atletico Madrid. Kiko up front, the only one who's kind of broken the trend. A guy on TV, and he's brilliant on TV, by the way. And Lyuboslav Penev, who even ended up being Bulgaria coach. So, this is a team of people
who... was at Valencia Mestalla as well.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, most recently. Yeah.
And by the way, Molina, Penev and Pantic had all come in this season. This was their first season. Yeah. They were three of the most important players in winning the league.
So, of course, Molina, the best story about Molina is that Molina, the goalkeeper of Atletico Madrid, gets his debut for the Spanish national team on the left wing.
What?
Go on.
On the left wing.
Why?
He comes on for the last 20 minutes or something. Javier Clemente sends him on left wing.
Any reason? Or just to give him a go, see how he... Yeah. No, are you serious?
I promise you.
Why did he do that? No one asked him.
Because it's Javier Clemente.
No one asked him. Why did he do that?
Molina got his debut on the left wing.
Wow. That's hilarious. up front, as you mentioned, was Kiko Narváez, who is I like him. A very good radio commentator now.
You know what I like about him?
Yes. He's very charismatic.
This is going to sound horribly dismissive, right? But this one of the things I like about him is that unlike so many people on Spanish TV, he's on TV because he's funny. And he actually is.
Yes. Yeah, it's true. It's true. He's trying to be as well.
Yeah, a lot of people are really, it's really kind of forced. With him, it feels much more real.
But he's quite natural. He's got quite an easy broadcasting style as well. He is probably the biggest name, apart from Simeone, in that team.
That he was there, for 8 years, I think. So not like some of these other players who came and went. He was there for a long time. He is a proper Atletico legend.
Also... and obviously this is a podcast, so you can't see what I'm doing. He's the one that does the Arquero celebration, which of course became Fernando Torres' trademark because Torres was a massive Kiko fan.
Ah, I didn't know that. You see, you learn something listening to these classic team podcasts. I mean, over the course of this series, we've spoken about some really good teams. Mm. How good was this team?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, right, so I thought they were... When I saw them and watched them a lot, obviously in 96, 97, the year I lived in Oviedo, I thought they were a very, very good team, but they were clearly not as good as either Madrid or Barcelona that season. In fact, Madrid for a lot of the season weren't that good, but it was a Capello team, so as usual, it was kind of a slow burn, and by the end, they seemed to be kind of unstoppable without ever being fantastic to watch. Barcelona were wonderful to watch, partly because they had Brazilian Ronaldo. This Atletico team, that the forward line was lovely. So a forward line that had Kiko and Caminero was you know, you sort of watch them and think, wow, this is a team, this is worth watching. And Kiko was a lovely footballer, very tall, very strong, very powerful, but actually a player of touch and technique. And Caminero very famously did that turn on Miguel Ángel Nadal. And if there is a kind of a... Remember a few weeks ago we talked about the Colo de Vaca that Romario did?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that season, if it had a moment like that, is this Caminero turn. So Caminero has got Nadal behind him in a game against Barcelona, and he turns back one way, but without the ball. So he turns one way, and Nadal goes with him, and then he spins and goes back to the ball. He's like, aha, the ball's over here, mate. And he runs into the air and pulls it back, and I can't remember who it is that scores. It's probably Penev, but I'm not sure. Anyway, that piece of skill, I think, you know, look up Caminero Nadal on YouTube, and it's a great piece of skill. And that piece of skill is in an Almodovar film.
Oh, is it?
It's in Live Flesh.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, how about that?
Talking about Barcelona, should we talk about the Copa del Rey final? We've talked about the league and winning the league. Let's talk about the other half of the double, a final that was played in Zaragoza at La Romareda. So it was special for Antic, who had been in Zaragoza as a player before. And it was Atletico against Barca. And it's a game that went to extra time. It was 1-0 in extra time.
Pantic, I think, scored the goal.
Header in the 102nd minute. And again, talk about how good was this team. You look at that Barcelona team. I mean, there are some names in there. You've got Luis Figo in there. You've got Hagi in there. You talk about Nadal at the back. Pep Guardiola's there in the midfield.
Yeah, you'd have had... who else would you have had?
Popescu was there as well.
Yeah. It's a hell of a team. Luis Enrique would have been... No, Luis Enrique would have come the following season, I think.
I think so.
It's a hell of a team. And you know, this was an Atletico side that, let's say, based on counter-attack. And I think that's one of the reasons why it feels so special, is that it always felt like an overachievement. It always felt like a bit of a one-off. And of course, with time, it becomes that. Because as you say, it's not since 77 that they won the league. They don't win it again until Simeone comes back. So you've got that bridging figure. And this actually brings us a little bit to the idea of the symbolism almost of Johan Cruyff at Barcelona. So Cruyff wins the league for the first time in 14 years as a Barcelona player, comes back as a manager. All right, Terry Venables has won the league in the meantime, but wins the European Cup for the first time. So this is part of the Simeone thing. It's that he is... both things. He straddles the two only successful eras that Atletico have had basically since the end of the 70s.
So for Atleti fans, is this clearly their best ever season? The pinnacle of everything the club's done in their history?
I think in terms of achievement, I think most Atletico fans would say ask coldly 2014. Yes, exactly. Ask coldly.
Yes.
But I think if you ask Atletico fans about the emotional sense of, you know, what is Atleti's great season, I think most people will go for 96.
I guess so, yes. I mean, emotionally, yes. Yeah. But reaching Champions League final, coldly, and winning La Liga, coldly, beating Real Madrid and Barcelona.
Coldly, without any doubt, it's 2014. Yes. You know, this was an era in which another team winning the league, even though it had been Madrid and Barcelona for so long, another team winning the league didn't seem totally implausible.
Like inconceivable.
I mean, as you said, I mean, look at the teams that were around them, and I don't know, I did write it down somewhere, but, you know, the teams around them, it's Valencia, Real Madrid are down in sixth or something. I think you've got Tenerife quite high up. You know, it's... It's plausible, whereas in 2014 it wasn't.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Right, really, really quite something else. The best bit about this, I mean, to put this into context, I did write this down somewhere. Here we go. At the start of the season, Juanma López, who, as I said, became an agent, maybe always had this agent kind of quality about him, he goes to the club and goes to see Miguel Ángel Gilmarín, the son of Jesús Gil, to organise the bonuses for the end of the season. And he asked for a 500 million peseta bonus across the squad. If they win the league, to which Miguel Ángel Gilmarín laughs at him and calls him an iluso. What would that be called? Kind of an airhead, a kind of, you know, naive, over-optimistic, naive, you know. And it turned out he was...
But did he get the deal?
I don't know if he actually got the deal. I genuinely don't know the answer to that, if he actually got the deal or not. I'm assuming he probably
must
did.
Have got something, yeah.
Yeah, and in the end, obviously, you get that massive celebration, you get everything that it means, and it was well worth
I'm sure Jesus Hill looked after them.
Yes, I'm sure he didn't tell the tax man about how he looked after them.
Listen, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us for another edition of Classic Teams. Hope you've enjoyed our delve back into the archive to look at that double winning side from Atletico Madrid. We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time with a look at another Classic Team. See you later.
Cheerio.
Bye.